ready now?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to reconvene our meeting now, and Mr. Barr's agreed to give us our invocation.
You'll pray with me. Thank you, Lord, so much for being here with us. Guide us and direct us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment that we may know your truth. We pray for this community. We pray for this college, Lord, that you can bless it, that we can bless this community and the surrounding area, Lord. Be with us. Guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, recognition of guests. Do we have any guests? See any?
No, I think mainly it's all of us.
Okay. This time the board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested a specific place on the agenda and want to address the board. And I don't think I see anyone. Therefore, we'll move on to our regular item, our approval of our routine matters. You've had a chance to look at all those, I hope, on your iPads, and I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Have a motion to approve. Have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. No unfinished business. New business. District amendment, tax abatement agreement, Crusoe, Howard County Data Center project.
Okay. As you know from conversation with Mr. Willis, we have actually two amendments for you to consider. One with the Crusoe Howard County Data Center project, and basically there's no change in the tax abatement agreement. It is simply they had to change the legal description of the property due to some things that changed. And so simply you are amending the agreement to affirm that. And then on the second one, the Recover Howard project, they are wanting to change the dates of commencement of the project. No change in anything you've already taken action on relative to the tax abatement except the commence date and the end date. And that was also shared with you in executive session. So,
okay. Do I have a motion to approve these changes?
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is Howard County Summit update.
All right. As y'all know, Mr. Willis needed to go back to the office. And based on the fact that we are unbelievably entering 2024, the Howard County Summit is scheduled for Wednesday, February the 7th, and it will be at the Coliseum East Room. So if you'll go ahead and put that on your calendars. In preparation for that, it's going to be a more of a workshop this time. He's changing the format up a little bit, and we'll come. I'll have some more information later.
Okay. Next item is the Howard County Appraisal District Board vote.
All right. As you know, you all submitted the name of a Jordan Partee for that board, and now it's time to vote. The nominee for the board, which is a five-member board, Mike Dawson, Scott Emerson, Noel Hoff, Jordan Partee, and Craig Wyrick. And so you now decide if you want to put all of the votes that Howard College has on one, or you want to divide it up, or what you want to do. We have 580.
I move we submit our 580 votes for Jordan Partee.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion carries also.
Financial Aid Swift Transfer Program update.
Okay. At the board meeting back, I believe it was the November or October board meeting, we had asked you to tentatively go ahead and change the dual credit rate based on entering into the FAST program, but we wanted to be able to have those conversations with our school districts, which we did, and we are ready to move forward based on the conversations that we've had. So I just basically giving you the update that we will be going forward with that tuition change for the spring semester, and we will be putting FAST agreements in place, and we've got a team that's working on that. Work with individual schools, so things are moving.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Nothing else for Big Springs, Lisa, San Angelo, or SWID. Or some major outcomes.
Nothing there.
Nothing there. So we're going to purchasing government risk and compliance services.
Yes, and so based on conversations that we've had, and Steve, I'm just going ahead and do it, Eric, Steve, we are recommending Columbia Advisory Group. This is a TIPS interlocal purchasing system contract. And it's done in around 70,000 ish annually. It's a 3-year agreement, we're recommending this. And this basically this is a like having a part-time CIO company that will be working with us. And in this day and time of security concerns, we believe this is the way to go.
Do you have a motion to approve this?
So moved.
Have a motion to have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries also. I can't pronounce that name.
Avigilon.
Avigilon. Security camera quote.
Steve, do you want to address that one? Well, here, I can do it.
Okay, this is Steve. This is with CSI. It's under an interlocal cooperative under the Texas Association of School Boards, under which we call BIBOARD. It's for $92,216.56, and it's for continuation of the security cameras, lifetime dollars on these computers, and this is for actual the security cameras and cabling and all that that goes with it that should go along with that project. And so we are recommending to you.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this?
So moved.
Motion approved. Have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thank you. On to the gas project.
All right. Fabian is ready to give you an update. If you'll remember at the last board meeting, we were having some issues with our gas service, particularly over to the McKinney building, and we were dealing with all of that. It's been kind of a series of gas problems that we've had over the last few months, and the cold that we're experiencing today has nothing to do with the gas lines. It has to do with the four pipe system. So they've been given updates.
Okay, you want me to start with the gas lines west of the sub? Or?
Yeah, just do a fast.
Okay, sure. So west of the sub, we were smelling gas. Called Bosworth. They came out here, they found there was a leaking coupler. We had that fixed, but then it kept on, so the more we dug, the more we found. There was a 4-inch PVC pipe that was allowed to be used back in the days, and so we took that PVC pipe and was actually able to sleeve poly pipe inside of that, so now we're up to code. This issue's fixed. So then the McKinney building, we've been having issues with that gas pipe that stretches from the west end of the building all the way to the east side of the building. And that gas line provides gas for the heating units that are in those shops. You probably remember there's some radiant type heaters that are suspended from the ceiling. And that line had been leaking for some years. We had Black Plumbing come out last year. They fixed it for us, but it's like domino effect. Once you start messing with one side, then it loosens up another joint, and then we just have leaks all over the place. That obviously is not safe, especially when we have a welding lab in that building. So then we decided, well, it's just time to replace this line. So then what we ended up doing was finding some isolation valves that are west of the baseball stands, and we found those valves, we dug them up, and found out that they were leaking as well. So Did we do the RFP? No, we went, we selected, well, we did get some requests.
We did the emergency conversation at the last board meeting, and the board allowed us to keep going.
Correct. So we got the quotes. Black Plumbing is the one that's doing that. And what we ended up doing is we replaced those valves. Instead of being underground valves, they built a manifold for us. So just like you see all these different gas meters, like here, for example, on campus, there's two main gas meters. They're above ground. All their valves are above ground. They did the same thing. So all of that is now above ground. No more valves underground that could potentially corrode with moisture. So now we have a primary valve and then two other valves, isolation valves, one that goes to the men's dorm and then the other one that goes to the McKinney building. That's all fixed, but we also found that the riser that feeds gas to the regulator that then goes into the building, that riser was leaking underneath the concrete slab. So we had to saw cut that slab, put in a new riser. Then the third phase of this project is to replace that entire line inside the building, and they're about 50% done with that. They're planning to have everything completed for us by the end of this week in McKinney. The four-pipe system that Dr. Sparks was talking about, so we have the central plant, we have chillers, we have boilers, we have four pipes, right? Two that are chillers, one that supplies, one that returns the chilled water to the plant. The other one is the one that supplies the hot water and returns it to the plant. We found that we had a leak east of the East Annex building. So we called a hydrovac truck. They came and excavated it, and we found that we have leaks in both the chilled water line and the hot water line. And so we reached out to, well, Bosworth is the guy, or the guys that are helping us with that. They contacted us this morning because as of Friday, they were able to find those four valves that we need in Ohio. But this morning they found those four valves that we need in Houston. Their plan is to have those valves here Wednesday. And also to send a welder tomorrow, because not only are the valves leaking, but also the pipes themselves are rotted close to the flanges where the valve is attached to the pipe. So that's rotted. They're going to have to cut that section, actually find where our good pipes are, where it's not pitted. From there, attach a flange, and then drop our valves in place. Like I said, hopefully the valves get here Wednesday, and by here I mean in Midland, and maybe sometime next week we'll get everything up there. If all goes well, maybe the end of this week, but we have rain coming in, and we have a trench that's about this deep, about 8 feet deep, so it could hold a lot of water and get everybody messy.
Thanks for making it rain.
70 yeah. years of pipe rotting.
Yeah.
Well, and I told Fabian that prior to us having our meal, Bill of Great Western Dining was telling me that their regional manager commented that several of the community colleges in the West Texas area are having gas problems. So it's kind of interesting that we have, and I asked him if it would be okay if I shared that, and he said, sure. So I told Fabian, it's just kind of interesting, and it's interesting in Howard County, the school district has mentioned that they're having problems, county, not the county, the state hospital, the VA, and so it's just kind of interesting. We do know that the gas lines, Terry, I know you're right there somewhere, Terry and Phil, but that was one thing we didn't repair. The gas lines is a part of the bond project, and so they're older anyway. And then just the, you know, what's going on. So anyway, so we're making progress. I do want to just say at this juncture, Board, that you know, Fabian and team, and there are a lot of people that are involved in this that are really trying to stay on top of it. However, We have students that are in dorms. This four-pipe system that we have is affecting every building except the Coliseum, the music building, the cottage, thank goodness for the little kids, and T. Broughton. So every other building is being impacted. That includes the dorms, those young people that live with us. team was doing a great job over the weekend, making sure that they had space heaters and extra blankets and that kind of thing, while Fabian is saying, but y'all be careful, you know, because there are certain regulations that we really have to, we don't want to create a fire, you know, and we have to be very, very careful about that. And so we're being, you know, he's got his safety hat on too. And we have a duty to protect. And so we're trying to be very careful about that. I asked Amy this morning as far as finals are happening, and we think most of the students will be out of here in the dorms by tomorrow. But it's coming, it's, as Fabian's already said, it's going to be wet. Watching what the temperatures are, it's going to be wet. The buildings are cold. I will tell you that I'm going to, with the authority that you give me, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to start, today we dressed up, but we're going to start layering up and basically doing dress down, you know, through the rest of the week, so that people, because it's cold in those offices, people are cold, and so we want to be mindful of that. I'm going to be asking you later if you will allow us to be able to get off Friday at noon, as opposed to generally we work to 3 and give the everybody an early holiday as opposed to going to 3. But for the Big Spring campus, depending on how things move, it may get too cold and start getting wet. And so I may have to, you know, that won't be for all the campuses. You know, we'll kind of work with all that. But we have graduation in San Angelo Thursday night. And so, you know, there's just a lot going on. And so, but the Big Spring campus may be pretty miserable depending on what's going on. So I'll be asking you for authority or to let us go noon on Friday. But then at the same time, let you know that may have to take some other actions depending on how cold it gets.
Have we looked at, it seems like gas leaks are happening everywhere. Have we done any kind of looking around to see if there's any more leaks that we aren't noticing yet?
What happens is when that happened, Atmos came and shut us off. So they shut the meter off, they locked the meter. And the only way that Atmos will unlock your meter is you have to pass a pressure test. And this pressure test consists of them attaching a gauge, their own gauge, to our system, and then they pressure it up. And they leave that gauge on there for a certain period of time, I think it's like 30 minutes, and that pressure cannot drop. If it drops, it won't unlock your meter. So the only way you can have gas back on is to actually pass that pressure test. Then the city also has to come do their inspection once Atmos leaves too. So they're not just going to turn us on if there are leaks anywhere else.
And that was part of the problem early on after we finished over here. The pressure test was taking place, but then we realized we had this issue over at the McKinney building, and so that kind of started that issue as well.
That's what happened. We weren't passing the pressure test. You know, the pressure kept dropping and dropping and dropping. We weren't maintaining that pressure. So what they ended up doing is they went to the McKinney building, the bus barn, and I believe it was the baseball field house. They took the regulators off and capped the line that fed the building, and then after that we passed. So then what we found out was that the problem was with the regulators that those buildings had. They came and replaced the regulators, attached everything, and then we passed the pressure test.
So we're pretty confident that there probably are no more leaks right now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the future is.
And I'd like to add just one thing on those space heaters. The reason I said no space heaters was because I researched what Texas Tech does. Texas Tech does not allow space heaters anywhere for safety reasons. And then when I was talking to Fernando about this, Fernando's our director of facilities here. He was also a director of facilities at the hospital. And he said that when they had issues there, they did allow space heaters, and then they had multiple problems from people tripping breakers because they were connecting multiple space heaters to one circuit. Breakers were being tripped, and there were two fires that were caused by the space heater. So I don't need more problems on top of what we already have. So that's why Eric was calling me a bad guy, but that's...
But Fabian did reach out to me, and I said yes.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just a safety matter, but it is cold. And so that's why we've got to be able to kind of wash this thing. I was hoping you were going to say the valves were going to be delivered today.
No, we did find them in Houston, in the state of Texas, which is a positive.
Yeah, that is a positive.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right, our next item is catalog changes.
All right. As a part of the board handbook, you have a policy that relates to basically how board agendas are posted and structured and all that. And so we are simply updating existing law into our policy relative to posting. Now that there's the opportunity to do internet, we have to do internet. But then as far as forever, we have always said that we were going to have it at the courthouse and at the college. But when the advent of the internet posting came in, then really we're in a situation where we don't have to do the county, but we are going to continue trying to do all three. But we had an issue on November the 11th or the 9th, what would have been the 9th, yeah, the county, or the 10th, whatever day it was. Yeah, it was, anyway, the courthouse was closed because of the veterans, and so we were scrambling around. We didn't realize they were closing. We thought it was going to be on Monday holiday, and it was Friday holiday, and so we were scrambling trying to get posted. Randy Johnson, our judge, helped us with that. We were able to get posted in the courthouse that was closed. But nevertheless, we were posted down there. We were posted on campus, and we, of course, were already posted on the internet. So this will just help us if anything like that happens. We're going to continue to try to do it at all three places, just in an effort to let people be aware that we're having meetings. But in the event that happens, we're not having to call Randy Johnson, and I'm not having to try to track down Brent Zitterkoff. And, you know, who's helped us before, too. Brenda Kay, does that capture everything in that change?
Okay, I need a motion to approve these handbook changes, please.
So moved.
Have a move. Do I have a second?
Aye.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Changes are approved. Construction renovations.
Okay. We are very happy to report, and I'm sure Terry would be very happy to come up here and do a final bow on, he gave you the report, the latest and the last, on the Anthony Hunt Library. So, Terry, you want to share?
Yes, I think this will be relatively short. Perhaps you've seen the library and perhaps even this reopening report, the final report on the library, but it went very well. All the punch list items are cleared with the exception of, I think, three light fixtures that were part of the original shipment that are non-working, and they've been reordered. They're not a stock item. They're a custom build. And they've been ordered, but we do not have, we don't even have a manufacture date, much less the ship date. So I wish I could tell you when they're going to be here. It's just that. The building is beautiful. It's a fantastic refresh on the existing facility. Not a whole lot of reconfiguring went in, but a whole lot of work on finishes and systems inside the library. The information technology bunch went. The technology that's in that building is amazing, and I think it's going to be a place that the students will use significantly more than what they did previously.
Terry, what Terry, if I can interject right now with that comment, Mark Willis, after we finished the meeting, he stopped me to just say how impressed he was with the library and how the technology was unbelievable. And he said, I'm going to be bringing people to this building for people to see how what can happen in that building. And he said he's even interested in trying to hold some meetings there just to be able to show. So that kind of seconds what you're saying about the technology and everything.
Since I have a technology background, it perhaps makes it a little easier to appreciate what all is there, but it's amazing.
After seeing the lighting, I can see why it took so long to get those lighting, mm-hmm. because they are wonderful.
They make a little statement.
They really do. They really do.
Unfortunately, all of the round ones were, but three of the straight linear had problems. They shift us. They're LED. They have drivers that control those LEDs. They shift us new drivers and did not fix the problem. So those fixtures are made overseas, and I believe it's in India.
Huh.
And so just kind of at the mercy to get those three fixtures replaced.
Okay.
Music building. I will tell you that building is in the context of completion. That building is just as complete as the library. We haven't moved in to the music building to the extent that we have moved into the library. But I think that's next on the agenda, because our grand reopening on the music building will be 17 January, right?
Right.
And if any of you have not seen the library, I would encourage you to go by. If you would like a tour, I'm sure the library staff or Dr. Sparks or myself will be happy to show you around. And so I think, you know, with that, I will tell you that I think we're ready to release retainage as I believe that the construction phase is completely finished.
On both.
Yeah, with the exception of those three light fixtures that we know still outstanding.
Very good. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate
it. As far as the budgeted amount for those buildings and the actual amount?
We did go over some relative to some of the furniture and equipment that we had to get, but for the most part, we were staying in.
And I will tell you that, I think to maybe get a little bit into the question that you're asking, we stayed within the contingency amount. So we did not go over at all.
As far as that part, but as far as some of the furniture, we did order some furniture.
The F&E that went inside, fixture, furniture, and equipment, perhaps that may have exceeded what we originally thought. But the construction side did not.
Yeah, and we had allocated some money for that.
Thanks, Terry. Okay, Scientific Health Professionals.
All right, so we'll start this. Phil's here, and reason being, as y'all know, as a part of your tour back in June of our San Angelo campus, we had the opportunity to walk around the West Texas Training Center, and at that point we were still doing a lot of conversation about how we could repurpose that space. And today, what we're sharing, and Phil has worked with everyone down there to make this happen, is this is just not the final thing. This is just the beginning, because we got to start the next part of this project, which is going to be the fundraising. So, Phil, if you want to take it from here.
Well, I don't know if they're aware of the journey we've been on. We started out by trying to put the program in the rapid response room, and we looked at the program requirements for square footage, requirements to it, tried to pack it into that space, and it was just too large. So then we explored a new building. We came up with an 18,000 square foot building that, according to our estimating, that'll cost about $340 a square foot. So you project it out and add soft cost, it's close to this, you know, $7 million. And of course, I mean, everybody was okay with it because that's where we were. Fortunately, for the college, San Angelo ISD, they're consolidating a bunch of their space into their campuses. That freed up some space in the WTTC, and so they jumped on it. And the good news is that they're going to be able to occupy roughly twice as much space in that building. And, of course, then you don't have to build a new building. You don't have all the maintenance costs and insurance things that are associated with the new building. So, and it's going to come at less than half the cost of what the new building would be. So, and this is what we've, you know, to this point, I think you should all have a copy of this.
They do.
Yeah, I brought this so we have something that we could point at, but just to go over the layout, they would take this corner up here and do an x-ray lab, do radiology tech here. We create an OR suite with two tables. Search tech would be here, respiratory would be in this spot, then RMA is here with the biology classroom, the RN classroom, and the EMT would be here, which we'll work our way to the east. This would be a skills lab where they have beds and mannequins and, that, you know, go through their clinical stuff. And then we created two new computer testing labs. This area down here would be a SIMS lab, and then we'd have CNA classroom here with testing, another RN classroom. These two tier classrooms exist, but they would be refreshed. One is one size for RN, the other size for LVN. Then we will create a training and instruction area in what used to be cafeteria down here. So, I mean, all of that with, you take the construction costs and the soft costs, I think we're at $2.35 million. So you're getting you're affecting twice as much square footage for half the cost, so that's four times the cost. So, anyway, I don't know if you have questions or any comments about any of this. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
So basically, board members, at this point, we just want you to see what we're about to start
fundraising on.
And wanted you to, again, you were part of that conversation back in June, and again, we appreciate Phil taking us, staying with us on this journey. And sometimes that's what happens. These journeys end up in a better place, even though they can take a while to get there. So so Pam, she's back there somewhere hiding, she's ready to write grants, and we've already, this has been something that she's been working on for a while, and we've been trying to get to this point that Phil could give us a good layout. This has included our some of our faculty and staff in these programs. And so now she will be able to start working on that. We don't know how fast we're going to be able to get this money raised, hopefully, quickly. You know, it's just going to depend. But as y'all know, St. John's campus it's nearing its effectiveness for us. And so we really are needing to move back all of those programs to the campus. And something that, you know, the roundtables that we have with our students, although I will tell you, years ago, it was the best thing that ever happened when we went to the St. John's campus, and it was great, and everybody loved it, and because we didn't have the spaces that we have today. And so it was the great thing for that day. Things have changed, and so in recent years, you're beginning to have students saying how they need, you know, they want to be back on campus, and even though it's 5 minutes, that 5 minutes can be a long 5 minutes depending on what the situation is for the student. So we do feel like this is the best option, and it'll take us a little time and effort to get there. We would love to be able to get something going, like I said, soon as possible. But it's just going to all depend on how those grants come in. But anyway, we're ready to go, and we just wanted y'all to be aware of it.
The next thing that I'll do is share CAD programs with different companies like KI, that, you know, the vendors for furniture and things, so they can start pushing my layout and coming up with real life furniture and they can make quotes. And, you know, if that's okay with you guys, I'll go ahead and get started with that.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate you so much. All right. Student Information System Project.
Okay. Eric, and I don't know if Amy wants to come up this time or not, but as y'all know, we feel that we're at the end of this project, and we're very pleased about that. To report that, and so I'll let these two talk about it.
So I think based on the implementation and, you know, we're up and, I think we've discussed quite a bit, you know, we're up and functioning on CAMS. There's still a lot of work figuring out processes in the end offices, you know, trying to make things more efficient. Some of the things that were maybe automated in the past are, you can complete them, you know, and they can do their work, but some things are easier and some things are harder because they're not automated like they maybe were employees. And so those are the types of things that we're working through. We're moving into a ticketing system with 3D technology, and then primary support will start slowly transitioning. They have a transition plan set up that I think we'll transition into after the first of the year, where the primary support will go to pieces. And things that we have customized with 3D technology during this process, if pieces can't help, then they'll step that down to them, and then those are some of the service contracts that, you know, we'll be looking at for customization and contractual help. So they have I think with thesis and CAMS, that partnership between those two companies has tightened. So I think that's good for us long term.
This morning we had our meeting. I think I've mentioned before, we had Monday morning meetings with CAMS and we're 3D technology. Based on this transition, We will not have weekly meetings with our leadership team. It will be as needed, or like financial aid. They work with one specific person from 3D Technologies. They will continue to meet. They meet weekly, actually. And then Rebecca Villanueva, that's our set report, she's going to do a lot of time one-on-one with 3D Technology to make sure our reports are working. It's a, you know, implementation is complete. We agree, but yet now it's done again. I hate to say that too loud, but now it's like the users are really learning. The time is they've got their money in. They're figuring out what we can do smarter this way. And so it's going to share it on us and do them and train the trainers and just really get in there and learn that system before we just reach out to 3D technology and ask for customization. Because I think we're when you say that, Eric, they need to really figure out what we can and
we have some internal meetings that we started, and so I started having those conversations with the main Citadel K candidates so far, just because we are going to be paying for, you know, help, but we can't reach out for every single question. So we're going to have internal meetings to solve the things that we can solve, and then if the scope or the expertise of what we're trying to do, you know, is beyond what we're capable of doing at this time, then that's when we'll reach out. And so we kind of have a system. We'll meet internally and then broaden that as, you know, we need to. But we're going to be smart about how to do that.
Very good.
So this is your official last report on the student information system.
Very good. Glad you are getting there. It's been a long haul.
Yes, it has.
Thank you.
All right. President's report.
Okay. As I said on this, as far as this week, this is our last week, and we're finishing up the exams and all that, and then as I mentioned, Thursday we have our graduation in San Angelo, and we also have the foundation meeting for the San Angelo. We also have an award ceremony that day, so we still have a lot happening there. I've already mentioned the early release on Friday for all campuses to happen at noon, and then as I mentioned, we're gonna monitor how we're feeling on the Big Spring campus. Definitely is going to start wearing, we're going to be in dress down mode for the rest of the week, and we'll just see how things progress. We do have a ball game on Saturday, and then we do have the winter break. Thank you very much for that. Classes and office hours will resume for some of our sessions on the 2nd, January 2nd. We do have the mini that will be going on. And then our spring semester, you see that we start all of our basketball season in full swing on January the 11th. And then spring 1 and spring 16 classes will start on January the 16th. The first day to file application for place on the ballot is the 17th. And then, as Terry already mentioned, we have our music building dedication that same day at 10 o'clock. And then your next meeting will be on the 22nd of January. So that's kind of your calendar, what's coming with that.
Are we on ESPN Plus?
Well, actually, we were ready to do that, but bless you. Do you need some water? The NJCAA, is their contract with ESPN has changed this year. So as a result of that, no, not right now, unless something changes. But we'll be ready if we can. Because they did like working with us. So, and that was because Cindy and team did a great job. And the call, Sam, everybody just worked really, really good with them.
There is also a... The State Trustees Association is having a training thing in Odessa in February.
Okay, good. You don't know the date yet?
I don't honestly.
Okay, we'll find
it. I'll get you that.
Oh, well. I'm sure
it's only Odessa.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we could actually participate.
Yeah, okay. We'll find out that date. All right, on recognitions, we have a bunch. I'm happy to report, this is kind of a recognition, that our SWID bus was delivered to the SWID campus this morning, and our Big Spring buses will be, they'll be coming this direction by the end of the week. And so we're excited about that. They look really, really nice, and so that's going to be great for our students. And I will tell you, the SWID campus is very excited this morning to have the new bus. And so those are good things for students. All right, recognitions. Our LVN program for the Big Spring campus was ranked as number 4 in the state by Practical Nursing since the last meeting. Mark Watt, our associate professor of music, has received the honor of being chosen as the guest conductor for the holiday performance of the Big Spring Symphony I don't know if any of you were able to attend the holiday extravaganza, that's not what they call it, holiday spectacular that they had last week in the Muse of the Fine Arts Department, and they did a super job on that. But he's transitioning to get ready, and some of our students will be involved in that as well, the symphony. And I think everybody knows that symphony is not just all Big Spring, Texas. Those artists come from all over the West Texas area and sometimes even Dallas. The Texas Workforce Commission recognized our AEL program on the Big Spring campus for being second in the state for co-enrollment. Co-enrollment means that AEL students also receive some type of service from Workforce Solutions or vocational rehab. So Tammy Alexander and the team received a nice trophy and a $50,000 bonus for the program. And so we're very excited for them on that. You need to know at the same time our AEL program is changing. TWC has changed the way that they are asking for grants to be written. And so we're going to be approaching our AEL program differently as far as how we submit the grant, and we're working on that and completing that as we speak. It will be one college district submission with variables in it, and I'll share that as time goes on when we get a final product on that. The College Livestock Show team members exhibited the Reserve Champion U overall, is that right, at the Meridian Christmas Classic at Clifton, Texas on December the 2nd, so we were proud of that. And she's probably hiding back there, but Pam Callen received the Spirit of the Cadre Award from the Concho Cadre, which is the volunteer ambassador arm of the chamber in San Angelo. And she was also promoted to colonel and recognized as number 5 in attendance at ribbon cutting and other events. And so Pam's doing a great job in the San Angelo community. Like I say, she's hiding back there, but I told her we were going to report that to the board today. So we're very, very proud of her and her efforts in the community. Okay, I'm just running along right along. Is that
yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I think that's all of the recognitions. I don't think I left anything out, anybody. Board of Education and Development, that will be great, what Ben just shared, and we'll find out more about that as far as kind of board training opportunity that will be coming. In January will be your annual board self-evaluation, so we'll be talking about some things like that at that board meeting, and that'll be an executive session kind of effort. Legislative and general updates, you know that the last special session didn't go exactly how some had wanted it to go, and so there's a possibility that there may be another session that's kind of, I don't know that anybody really knows, and I don't, you know, I'm sure somebody knows, but right now, let's just say we're moving into the next phase of the legislative effort. Okay. I believe, board members, that is everything today.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments to bring before the board today? If not, then by the authority granted to us, we are adjourned.
Thank you all. It's a long day. We actually got through the board meeting quickly.
Yep.
Because you spent hours before in prep for it.
Last week.
Did you not get anything about the thing that
you got? You know, if I... No. But I'm surprised. You know, I'm wondering if anything went, if it went to.
Well, I don't know. I've got it, but I don't have it. Okay. I've got it. I'll get it to you. I just don't have it. It wasn't that detailed yet, but there was the date.
I knew that they were talking about it, but I haven't seen anything official.
Basically, it was
Okay, okay.
It's sort of like what they did with Tangis and Doe. We didn't deal with because obviously they were going to do it in Odessa.
Right.
So why go to Jacinto and bring it in Odessa?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, so.
Right.
But that was.
I'm hanging up.
We're sorry, your conference is ending now. Please hang up.